The New York Nonprofit Press. The industry standard for nonprofits is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher@nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice. And if you want to be a guest on this show, email me at ron@marketingworkspr.com. Today's guest is from Camp Good Morning. He's one of the counselors, or he's a camper who never grew up, but I'm only kidding. Paul Rubin is the founder and executive director. Paul, welcome.
Thanks so much, Ron. Good to be here.
Tell me a little bit about Camp Good Morning and how you got started.
Sure. Well, Camp Good Morning is a 501c3 nonprofit that provides free, absolutely free bereavement programs for Long Island children who are coping with the death of a parent and or sibling. And the way we kind of got about it or went about it was I'd gotten involved in bereavement camps about 18 years ago. And over the years, I've seen a lot of really good work. And we just don't have something like that necessarily on Long Island where it's really comprehensive. And so I decided to take all of my experiences over the last, I guess over the last 18 years, and combine it all into one camp, making it really comprehensive. So one of the things that we do, that one way in that we're different, is that we're the only overnight bereavement camp here on Long Island. And that's important because what that helps to do is build those bonds and forge those friendships with the campers as well as the counselors.
Well, your background, what you told me, and I have a different background. I was in radio before, and you were in TV. You were a producer, right?
Correct. So for many years, I worked for AMC and Bravo here on Long Island, and went out to Denver, Colorado, and worked with Stars and Encore, and then came back to New York, and I was doing some work not only freelance, but also some full-time work as well. But that's when I kind of started making the transition into the helping profession, which is mental health counseling.
But were you ever a camper?
I was never a camper.
You were never a camper?
I was a camper as a kid, but not part of. So I loved camp. Camp was such a great experience. It's where kids can just go and have fun. And so what we tried to do is create a camp where kids can have the same sort of fun that they have at any other camp, but we also added in support groups for the kids so that they can get some support with other kids, because most kids who are grieving really don't know anybody else like them.
No, they don't. But, you know, when you talk about you being one of the first bereavement camps that are sleepaways versus day camps, there is a difference, right?
Yeah, there's a huge difference. I mean, the level of connection is multiplied, because when you go home after a day camp, you disconnect from all the kids and from the counselors and from everybody at camp. But when you're with them with 24/7, and after dinner and after the night activity, you all go back to the cabin, it isn't like everybody goes to sleep. There's a lot of chatter that goes on, and that becomes a real fertile ground for some more conversation about their loss. So kids tend to really become super connected at that time.
So when you left the TV world and went into the mental health or bereavement, and you know, I work a lot with the mental health community, so I know it's not easy. And it's harder now because that seems to be the word that they use. If something bad is happening, oh, it's a mental health situation. And when you're working with mental health patients or mental health people, they don't want to hear that. That's not true. You know, it's just the way they're handled. And I have to applaud you in the way you do that.
Well, you know, I think we just treat people like people.
And that's what they want to be treated like.
And it doesn't matter whatever, you know, one's affliction is, or it just doesn't matter. Back in the day when I did an internship, I did it with an agency that dealt with severe and persistent mental illness. And I did that specifically because—
Where did you do it?
The American, the Association for Mental Health and Illness.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Okay.
And one of the things that and one of the reasons that I did that was because it was almost a fear of mine, and I wanted to be able to kind of normalize that. And what I realized was that every single person there is just like any other person who has stuff. They just have something a little different.
They have abilities. They don't have disabilities.
That's correct. And so I enjoyed all of my relationships there with anybody who attended. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
And it's interesting because the way I was brought up was the same thing. You know, like you were almost afraid to go near them. And it shouldn't be that way. But I had to get over that also. And I did. Now, what's my job? I work with only nonprofit agencies. All my agencies have disabilities, whether it's autism or mental health or epilepsy. And I have no problem at all with that, with going up to them. So when you started working at the bereavement camps, they weren't yours. You were working for other people at the time. So you were gathering information so that someday you would have your own, right?
Well, you know, I have to be honest. At the time, I didn't know.
Of course that, not. When you started.
That it was something that I wanted to do. And it was all volunteer work. So, I you know, this is all unpaid. So it's really a labor of love, so to speak. So when I was going there, I was just enjoying the experience and being able to give back. But one of the things that you had mentioned was, you know, how people kind of steer away from people who might have mental health, you know, challenges. It's the same thing with grief.
Right.
People won't talk to somebody about a loss because they don't know what to say, or they're afraid that they're going to upset them. And in that way, it just isolates those who are grieving, and especially kids who, you know, don't know what to do. It's really important that we engage kids and that it's okay to say, you know, I'm so sorry about your loss, or tell me about your loved one, because it's something that they would love to be able to do. It's just that we just don't know how to go about it.
So you have kids in your camp, and they meet up with other kids that are in the same situations as them. So now they have peers that they can talk to.
That's exactly it. So what we do is we build a community of kids who are grieving. And in that, we're hoping, and one of our goals, is that they create their own little community. So when they leave camp, they leave with friends. And those friends have a single parent, or perhaps it's two parents because it might have been a sibling loss. And we want those parents to connect, because then not only do the kids have friends, but now the parents are talking to each other. So what we want to do, even though camp is only twice a year, we want to extend that community past camp, and so that parents and children can extend their community, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like having a reunion.
That's correct. That's exactly what it is. And so we build different events throughout the year where families can attend, simply for the, you know, one obviously is to do some fundraising, but also is to bring them back together and to give them another opportunity to maybe rekindle a relationship that probably did not have an opportunity to occur.
How long is the camp? How many weeks?
So the camp is only a weekend.
Oh, it's a weekend.
It's a weekend.
So you do that twice, you said.
Yeah, so we do it a Friday to Sunday.
Where?
At Camp Pequoddock in Santa Mauritius. It's owned by the Rotary, which is right up our alley, because they also are, you know, they're a nonprofit,
right.
And they do it, you know, obviously everybody has to make a living, but, you know, their goal is to serve, for those who are familiar with the Rotary.
Right. So you do it two weekends a year, and then you have the reunions during it. How many people go to the camp?
So we're shooting for 65, and we 65 children, and then we pair them one-to-one with a big buddy. We call them big buddies. It's like a mentor, big brother, or big sister for the weekend.
Right.
And then for that entire weekend, that big buddy is with that child for the entire time. So it's really...
is it in the summer?
No, it's in the spring and the fall. And we did that intentionally because there are other bereavement camps that occurred during the the summertime. So we didn't want to duplicate services. We wanted to fill the gap in services.
So you had a camp that was supposed to be in the spring this year and in the fall this year, and you had to go virtual, right?
That's correct. And what's interesting is that our very first camp, the virtual camp, went so well that we increased it by a day. So we went from 3 days to 4 days.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. It was one of the first things right after our last camp. One of the leadership staff said, "So when are we going to do the next one?" So it really was just a real.
But they have actual camp sports that they play too, right? It's not just seminars, is it?
Oh no! This is like any camp.
It's fun.
yeah. This isn't where you just go and cry all day.
Yeah.
This is a place where kids get to be kids and get to enjoy the same sort of camp activities that they would enjoy at any camp. The only difference is that we have support groups that we run throughout the weekend, and we run 4 support groups. One is on Friday, 2 is on Saturday, and then 1 is on Sunday, each one having a different theme. But within those themes, the children can bring up anything that they want.
So it's just children there. The parents aren't there, are they?
That is correct, at least for this year. So one of the things moving forward that we're going to be doing is including a simultaneous parent camp, where now we can serve the parent who is grieving as well as their children. The only difference is that they're on different parts of the campus. So the children will get what they need, the support that they need. The parents will get support that they need. And when they come back together, we're hoping that they're going to be a little bit more knowledgeable about what each other are going through. But more importantly, they're on better footing.
I'm smiling because when I was a kid, I was always sent away for 8 weeks. I had those Jewish parents. Oh, get rid of that kid. So I'd go to these camps. And recently, I think it was about 5-6 years ago, I got a letter saying that they were having an adult camp for all the kids that went to Camp Orinsaqua, Sonequa, or whatever it was called. And I said, no, I don't think my wife would let me go. But anyway, coming up on February 7th, which is my birthday, is a Super Bowl party that you're having. Tell me about your virtual event.
Yeah, so we decided that we were going to run a virtual Super Bowl Sunday wing eating competition. And this is just a fun event for families, individuals, anybody who wants to get involved, to kind of get involved and eat wings right before Super Bowl Sunday. So we've teamed up with LIU Post. They have an organization.
It's not Hooters, is it?
What's that?
You're not doing it with Hooters, are you?
No, we are not. But we're teaming up with LIU Post.
Nice.
Their Circle K group. And Circle K is the college version of the Kiwanis. And the Kiwanis is all about, it's an international organization, right, which is all about serving children. So we're teaming up with them. And, you know, we're really excited about this because anybody can participate. It doesn't matter what age you are. You know, you can be at 5 or at 50 or 60 or 70. It just doesn't matter.
And where do you eat the wings in your house?
Yeah. So what we do is
sending everybody wings.
Yes.
Good for you.
That's exactly what we're doing. Again, we have to adapt. You know,
Absolutely.
We have to reimagine everything because of COVID. And we decided that nothing was going to stop us. So each team will be, or each team leader, because each team has 4 people.
Are they all in the same place or everybody's virtual?
Everyone is virtual.
Nice.
Unless it's a family competing. So if it's, you know, the immediate family, then they'll all be competing, you know, from the same place. But we encourage everyone, you know, not to leave their home if, you know, if it's with other team, you know, they want, you just want to kind of be safe.
Right.
That's the most important thing. And so what we'll do is we will deliver the wings to each team leader, and then either the team leader will deliver those wings to the participants, or the participant will come and pick them up at the team leader. But it's a wonderful way, and it's a fundraiser. So the whole idea is that, you know, each team participant gets pledgers to pledge on how many wings those people are going to eat. So it's, let's say, for example, if somebody wants to pledge $1 per wing for each wing that you eat, if they eat 15 wings, it's a $15 pledge. It's not anything that's going to break the pocket, but it's certainly something that can help us. And anybody can pledge a dollar or more. So if somebody wanted to pledge $2, $5, $10, it's entirely up to them.
How did you do last year as far as fundraising?
So fundraising, interesting that you say that. So this past year, we actually grew by 300%. So that's something that we are really, really proud of. It was tough, but I think we chose events that were really engaging. You know, that's why we're doing Wing Challenge, because it's just a really engaging
event. Tell me what else you did. I want to hear this.
Sure. So we had done, we'd done a few painting events.
Okay.
And the reason that that was successful was, number one, we did personal asks. It wasn't just that about mass emails, because those really, I have found that they don't work.
No, but you could do virtual on your website.
Yep.
Where you could put different items up.
Yes, yes. We could do auctions. We could do bingo.
Yeah.
We have found so far that we were able to do three paint nights. And what was also important was that some of our camper families wanted to do it in their loved one's name. So they were bringing in all their family members in addition to all the people that we knew. So, for example, we had one camper mom come to us and say, you know, we'd really love for you to do, we'd love to do this. We'd love it to be this type of theme. Can you help us? And I said, absolutely. And she was able to, she brought in over, you know, 60 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
But they love that. I mean, if you could put up someplace, some kind of, even if it's a bench at the camp, you can get it sponsored with that and put the kid's name on it.
Well, that's exactly what we plan to do in the future. So what we're looking to do is expand our camp and maybe help a campsite like Camp Aquatic to be able to expand it. So if we get sponsors, as we get sponsors, because that's one of the things that helps us going, we work on a volunteer basis. So it's volunteer led. But as we get sponsors, you know, we can now dedicate perhaps a brand new cabin so that we can serve more children. We can have a bench. We can have a tree. We can rename the dining hall.
You could put, even on the cement, you could put the kids' names on it leading up to the, and people want their kids recognized, and I don't blame them for what they've been through.
Absolutely.
So you said you're a volunteer organization. Do you have volunteers for the camp?
That's correct. So everyone who comes to Camp Good Morning who wants to participate is a volunteer, and that includes all the clinicians. So we have clinicians, whether they be school counselors, psychologists, mental health counselors, social workers, guidance counselors. They lead each support group, and they are also volunteers. So it truly is, again, a labor of love for each person who gets involved.
And how can someone get in touch with you?
So there are several ways that people can get in touch with us. One is simply by going to our website, which is campgoodmorning.org, and that's MOURNING, as in grief. So it's campgoodmorning.org. They can also go to our Facebook page, Camp Good Morning. They can find us on Instagram at Camp Good Morning, MOURNINGLI for Long Island. And the last way that they can get in touch with us is by phone, and that's 631-772-9115.
Now, what are the dates for the camp this year?
So this year, our camp is April 30th through May 2nd. It starts on a Friday afternoon around 2:30 or so, and it'll go till Sunday, May 2nd at about 5.
So this is going to be virtual, obviously. So
we'll have to see. You know, we're prepared.
It's going to be tough.
No, you're absolutely right.
That I can't see it this year. Maybe the fall might be. But I think the early one, we work with agencies that are putting together all their fundraisers for this year. And if they're doing a gala, and the gala is in October or November, even though it might be clearing up by then, you need 3 or 4 months to prepare for it. So you're talking about the summer. I don't see it. I think galas will be okay next year. I think golf outings, you could do them now. Doesn't matter. Everybody's doing the golf outings.
Mm-hmm.
It's the getting enough people together in a catering hall, it's not going to happen. It's going to be tough. And the same thing with camp. But they are doing day abs, though. So, you know, well, and they're doing it well. So maybe there is a way.
Well, you know, one of the things that we always say is that health is our number one priority. We will never put a child at risk, especially when that family has already had a loss. So, you know, and we also have school nurses on board, and we're going by the New York State guidelines. So whatever those are, we'll abide by.
Paul Rubin has been a great guest. He's an unbelievable guy. You, the camp counselor, what they call the one in charge of camp. He's the camp director. Thank you very much. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.